God's word to us tonight is found in 1 Peter chapter 5 at verse 7. We read, "Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you." Let's ask God's blessing on this word in prayer. Father, we are again to open a portion of thy holy and inspired word, the word that must endure forever, the word which thou hast spoken. We pray that thou wilt open our ears that we may hear, and in the words of our Savior, that it may go down into our ear, even into our hearts, and that it may abide there with strength and comfort. Thus be with all of us as we hear and listen, as we are called to preach and proclaim, that we may all in our hearts not only bow, but joyfully and with great desire receive and embrace this word of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Scriptures give to us many word pictures, many figures of speech or metaphors to describe prayer. We may say that, in a sense, the Bible is a book on prayer. And it uses many figures of speech to show us the beauty of prayer, our need of prayer, and to encourage us to pray. A few examples. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16, "Let us come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." In prayer, we appear before, for us, the throne of grace, before the throne of Almighty God, which has been established eternally, from which all things proceed and are controlled. But to us it is a throne of grace, as Paul in Hebrews 4 has explained. We approach through Jesus Christ, our mediator and intercessor, and in his precious blood we may come before that glorious high throne of God, and we may be assured that through Jesus Christ we shall obtain grace and mercy to help us in our need. Psalm 91, verse 1. "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." It speaks of a secret place, boys and girls, a safe place where no evil can find me. And it is under the shadow of the Almighty. And I may flee there, I may go there for safety in every moment. Foul sinner that I am, I may take myself there in prayer to God's throne for safety. Luke 15, verse 20, of the prodigal son. "And he came to himself. And he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread, and I am perishing? I will arise and go to my father. And I will say, Father, I have sinned against thee and against heaven, and am not worthy to be called thy son. Make me as a hired servant. But while he was yet a long way off, his father had compassion on him, and ran to him, and kissed him, and put a robe of righteousness around him, and a ring on his finger." We come convicted of our sin and unworthiness, perhaps suffering under the chastisements of our sin, under the consequences of our sin. We have no place to go. We arise and we go to the Father to confess in prayer. And he meets us in all of his compassion. Many pictures in the Bible to teach us the precious gift of prayer and to encourage us in prayer. Have you, have I, been there this week? Have you been there personally this week? Do you go there often in the day? And now there is this figure of prayer in our text, casting all our care upon Him, for He careth for you. All that weighs heavily upon your own soul, all your anxiety, all your care, bring to the mercy seat and leave it there. All that would overwhelm us, all that would cloud from our vision the heavens of His blessings, all that we say that we cannot bear for another moment, all that would keep you awake at night and consume your thought, cast it into the arms of God. In prayer, look into God's own heart. He careth for you perfectly. Take His care, His tenderness toward you in exchange for all that cast you down. Peter here, the Holy Spirit, but Peter in this epistle is writing his epistle to us as children of God who are made pilgrims and strangers. The opening words might be acquainted to you of the epistle. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered abroad throughout various ages, places, elect according to the foreknowledge of God. We are spiritual pilgrim strangers on this earth. He says again in chapter 2, verse 11, "Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul." We are strangers and pilgrims on this world because a different life, as Peter teaches, is in us than that which is in the world. We do not belong any longer to this world. He explains in the first chapter, verse 3 and 13, that according to God's abundant mercy, we have been begotten again unto a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. His resurrection life abides in us, and we are citizens of heaven and not citizens of this earth. And now we must live in hope. And as pilgrims, says Peter, we must gird up the loins of our mind and hope to the end for the salvation that shall be revealed in us. And as he comes now to the conclusion of his epistle to us as pilgrims and strangers, he has three admonitions in the closing part of his epistle for us as pilgrims and strangers. Three admonitions for pilgrims. The first is that if we are pilgrims, we must dress right. We must get dressed right. A traveler, a hiker, one who is going to hike along the beautiful seacoasts of Northern Ireland, certainly must be wearing the right clothing. He cannot be suited as we are today with Sunday shoes and pants, but he must have on the right suit. He must be dressed appropriately for his journey. We must be dressed appropriately for our journey. And so he says in verse 5, "Be clothed with humility." If you're clothed in pride, your pilgrimage is not going to go well. It's going to go very rough. You'll be falling into snare after snare after snare. Be clothed with humility. The second thing that he says to those who are pilgrims is our text: don't carry too much. Don't pack your backpack with all kinds of stuff, stuffing them in with all kinds of weights, things that you don't need. You can't carry a lot if you are a pilgrim. It will hold you back. It will stop you in your pilgrimage. Do not carry that load of care. And then thirdly, in verse 8, he says that as pilgrims, we must beware. if we're pilgrims, of our enemy, the devil, who seeks to destroy us in our pilgrimage. You need to be aware of him. You need to be personally aware of the devil as a young man, as a child, all of us. He seeks to stop your pilgrimage. And it's the second word to pilgrims, a word that is especially focused on prayer, that we consider tonight. That load of anxiety that we want to carry on our backs, we must cast it off us upon God in prayer. Casting our care, all our care, upon God. We'll consider what that means, how that is done, and why it must be done. Cast all your care on God is the simple exhortation of this Word of God. What does that mean? Well, care, as you might already know, is the word anxiety or worry, that upon which we become fixated in our hearts and minds. The Greek word means to be pulled apart or to be pulled in many directions. It can be translated burden. The same word, you are aware of, has been used in the New Testament scriptures in that precious passage, Philippians 4, verse 6. Be careful for nothing. Be anxious about nothing. But in everything, in prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God. And then the promise, the peace of God will dwell in your heart, a peace passing understanding. It's also the same word that Jesus uses in his Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 6, when he says to us, take no thought for the morrow, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink. Take no thought. Do not become anxious about the things of your life and the things of this world. God has promised to supply you day by day with what you need. And so this word care refers to that which consumes our thoughts, weighs down upon our hearts, takes over our minds. You may compare our cares and our worries to a dam, an earthen dam, which stops the stream of God's living waters of his word to us and leaves us dry on the other side. Although the whole reservoir of the word of God is there, our anxieties are a dam to keep it from flowing into our hearts each day. They become to us things that we seem not able to defeat. We can't shed them. They press down. They stick to us. The Greek word refers to something over which a person would brood and would disturb them. They can't get it off their hearts. Anxiety, worry, and fear. You note with me tonight that the Holy Spirit has put the word in the singular, cast all your care. And it's in the singular not because we have only one care. Our cares give birth to a whole host of children. Our cares have tentacles which reach out into every part of our life. But it's singular because there is one thing that is common to all our care and worry, and that is the future and what will happen to me. What if? Will I be able? We place ourselves, as Jesus said in Matthew 6, into tomorrow. Our worry cannot empty tomorrow of its sorrows or of its trials, but our worry today of the future can empty our body, our souls, of the strength of God. As I said, it could be translated burden. And if you remember the word burden, cast by burden, upon the Lord, then it could well be that the Apostle Peter, the Holy Spirit, wants to jar our memory and think of Psalm 55, verse 22. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He will never suffer the righteous to be moved. Perhaps, this is my conjecture, perhaps that verse was especially precious to Peter, the man who had denied his Lord three times and felt that guilt of his sin. And it was that word, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. Psalm 55, which was written by David. It was written by David when his son Absalom rebelled against him, tried to kill him, his own son. And when his trusted friend Ahithophel, with whom he sat, he says, in church, and took sweet counsel together. They had good, he thought, spiritual times together. Ahithophel had betrayed him and befriended Absalom, his son. So that at that point in David's life, his whole life seemed to be shattered around him, in pieces around him. Everything was gone. He saw only his sin. And so it speaks to us tonight of such a feeling. Those cares tonight can be such things as our physical life. Peter is writing, as we saw, to believers, elect of God, who are scattered. First verse, scattered throughout Asia Minor. They are scattered because they are being persecuted for the sake of Jesus Christ. And they are suffering the want of earthly things and the loss of possessions for Jesus' sake. This can bring us great anxiety, sickness, and cancer, and all these things. It can come to us in widowhood, old age, loneliness. Our cares can be our responsibilities that God has given to us. All that I have to do, all that demands my time, the pressures of my home and family, the pressures on jobs. I can't get this all done. It can be schoolwork or other things. We can become anxious about what other people think of us. As children and young people, what do other people think of us? We enter a room and we're possessed with ourselves and what they think of me. There can be burdens of family members, sons and daughters who are not walking in the way of life, who do not feel the need of the blessedness of belonging to Christ and his people. And we can go on and on. It can be the burdens of our sin and sins in the past, things that we must confront in the future because of our sins. And all of these things, says the Word of God to us tonight, this anxiety, this worry, this care, are very dangerous. And they're very dangerous because our cares do two things. They silence the Word of God to our hearts, and they stop us dead, still in our tracks and in our spiritual pilgrimage. Your care, they're dangerous. That's a dangerous thing. You don't hear the Word of God when we are filled with worry. We're not ready to go forward in the will of God when we are consumed with worry. We can't do anything. And note with me that this Word of God comes to all of us. Cast your care, not some of you. He's not speaking to elements in the congregation, but he's speaking to all of us. All of us have this. And so Jesus, Matthew 13:22. And he that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word. And the care of this world chokes the word of God. Again, we read of Jesus Luke 10, verse 41, in the home of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. And as he's come into that home, as is his custom, he has sat down to teach them. And Mary, Martha's sister, is at his feet, listening to those words, and Lazarus is there. But Martha is busy with caring for all her guests and making sure that they're all properly greeted and given something to eat, and says, "Lord, tell Mary to help me." And he said, "Martha, Martha," we almost see him shaking his head. He loves her. He says it twice, "Martha, Martha, thou art careful. You are filled with care about many things. There is but one thing needful. And Mary has chosen that part to hear my word." And then the word is used for another example, 2 Corinthians 11:28, the Apostle Paul. And the Apostle Paul, you might recall in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, is listing all those things that uniquely came to him as the Apostle of God to the Gentiles, and his shipwrecks and his beatings and how he was esteemed the reproach of this world. And then he concludes it with these words in verse 28. "Besides all these things that have happened to me, besides all these things that are without, that happened to me in this world, that which cometh to me daily, that which came to me each day, the care of all the churches." He had to care, minister to all the churches. That's a legitimate care. That was a legitimate responsibility, to take care of the churches. The legitimate responsibility of a pastor, of an elder and a deacon. The legitimate responsibility of you as parents, or anyone in authority, that you do your work, but that responsibility can at times to us be overwhelming. We face insolvable, difficult things. They threaten us to stop. They take away the joy and the peace of the Lord. What are we to do? Cast your care on Him. It's an imperative. It's a present active imperative. A present active imperative means that the action is not done once and done with, but it is an ongoing. You could translate it, keep on casting your cares on God. Keep on casting those cares throughout the day upon God. Don't seek to carry them in your strength. Don't carry them with you as a pilgrim, those burdens. It does not mean that we try to neuter our feelings and our emotions, that we simply say, "Well, I don't care anymore," that we become cold and insensitive and unfeeling, that we become careless. Nor does it mean that we should try to medicate ourselves before our anxieties and our worries in the misuse of drugs, the misuse of alcohol, that we find our own way, perhaps through alcohol, to escape our anxieties, only returning to them tenfold because we have tried alcohol to escape them. But God is saying, no, don't do any of those things. Bring them to the mighty hands of God, to the mighty arms of God. Lay them down before His throne. Spell them out before His throne. Throw them upon the shoulders of the living God. Psalm 62, verse 8, trust in Him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before Him. The word pour means a glass. Pour the water out. Pour all that is in your heart out upon God. List it all to Him. Pour it upon Him. Cast your burdens on the Lord. Children, this is the one time in the Bible, the word cast means throw. This is the one time in the Bible that the Bible says, I can throw something. I may not throw my words in vindictive. I may not throw a temper tantrum. I may not throw down something in disgust. But I may throw my anxieties and burdens on the Lord. Cast them. This word cast is used in Luke 19:35. And there again, children, do you remember in Luke 19 that Jesus, it's a Palm Sunday, and he's about to make his royal entry into Jerusalem. And he has sent them to find the colt, the foal of an ass, the foal of a donkey. And they have found that foal and are leading him. And we read that the disciples cast, this word, cast their garments upon the colt, and they set Jesus thereon. That they cast their garments upon the ass does not mean that they all took off their robes and just threw it in a big laundry pile on top of this little donkey. But the word cast means smooth over. They took those robes and they smoothed them out over the back for him to sit upon. Go to God repeatedly. Smooth them out before him. You remember what Hezekiah did when they gave to him the roll of Rabshakeh, who had defied the living God before the walls of Jerusalem? They brought him his words, all in that scroll. And what did he do? He went to the temple of God and he smoothed that scroll out. He put it right there. And he brought it all to God. Keep on telling him. Smooth them out. Speak of them to him. Sometimes we say, I can't do that. I'm so upset. And that's why the book of James tells us that if we can't pray, we must call the elders. Pray for us. And that's why the Bible says, using this word, in 1 Corinthians 10, we are to care one for another. Using this word, we are to take these things and smooth them out with each other. That's the function of the body of Christ. But even then, we find that our cares seem to be glued to us. They seem to come back to us. And they do that because we don't quite trust God to carry our cares or to do what we want about our cares. And the Word of God says, don't. Don't do that. Don't surrender to your care, but surrender. Bring your burden to the Lord in prayer. As I said, this still remains very difficult. So what is there to help us, to show how this works? It is in prayer, first of all, that we see all the things that fear has hid from our eye of faith, and we hear all the things that our anxieties have clogged our spiritual ear so that we no longer are hearing them. Our fears and our anxieties are vocal. They have a voice. They're talking to you. David in Psalm 3, there be many who say unto me, doesn't mean that they were saying these things verbally to him, but there be many who say unto me, there is no hope for him in God. There's the voice of despair and hopelessness. Prayer opens our ears to hear the promises of God. Prayer opens our eyes to see the reality of our situation. Psalm 3 once again, after David prayed, "But thou, O God, art a shield for me, the lifter up of my head." In prayer, God lifts up our head and he says, "Look upon me and remember my promises." In prayer, God speaks to us. I don't mean that he speaks to us in a voice from the heavens. When we pray, we should pause. We should listen. Listen to him. We're talking to God. God responds, not in a mystical way, but by his Spirit, his grace. He's promised us. We must hear not just the voice of our anxieties, but we must come to the throne of God to see and to hear and to listen to his promises. Be still and know that I am God. Still more, when we cast our burdens upon the Lord in our prayer, that of course does not mean that when we're done with our prayer or in the next day, all the circumstances that made us fear are all going to be ironed out and they won't be a worry anymore. It doesn't mean that the struggles and the difficulties of our life, it does not mean that nothing bad will happen. But prayer will reveal to you and me the truth about our circumstances. And this is something that Peter had already explained to them, 1 Peter 1, verse 7, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto the praise and the glory and the honor of God at the appearing of Christ. Prayer reminds, God speaks in prayer. It shows you, when you go to his throne, then you see that all that has caused you to shudder and to shake is and remains in the hands of Almighty God, working out his will most perfect. But perhaps we say, "All right, Pastor, I nod to everything that has been said. I do believe that prayer opens my eyes to the reality of God, that prayer opens my ear to hear his promises. I do believe that. I do pray. But I find so often that soon after, I still have those cares back on me again, and I'm weighed down again. Is there anything more?" I have asked God, as Paul 3 times, I have asked God to take it away. I have asked for his peace. Is there anything more? And the answer to that is yes. Yes. He careth for you. God cares for you. I don't have words to express the depth of what that means. The word care now is no longer anxiety, but now the word is the reference to God's perfect compassion, the grace of his heart. He is compassionate. Care, even in humans, can be seen in their face when a person cares. On the face of God in Jesus Christ, the gift of his love, the Son that he has sent into the world, there is the face of God. There is as close as we come to see the face of God. It is revealed in Jesus Christ. That face towards us in Christ is a face of compassion. He cares for you. He knows you. He understands all you're afraid of. He knows every thought of your heart. He does not despise you, but according to the richness of his own grace, of his own eternal being, according to his own eternal will, he loves us. He loves us with all his being for his name's sake. That God cares for us means that he has compassion upon us in our weaknesses and fears. As a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pities those that fear him. Only his care is not like a father's, because we as fathers can pity our children, but we can't lift into their heart and take that off their heart. But God can. God's mighty arms of grace to sustain us in every moment. Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, says Peter, casting your cares upon him. Humble yourself before the living God who eternally cares for you. Prayer stands upon two eternal rocks. God is absolutely sovereign. God is completely gracious to his people in Christ. He holds me. He's sovereign. He has loved me. He's gracious. He cares for you. It means then in prayer that we must not just cast our worries on God. We must cast ourselves on God. It means that we must cast our loved ones for whom we are anxious on God. It means that we cast tomorrow on God and our future on God. That we cast our burdens upon the Lord. It means that we understand we are not in control. God is in control, and he cares for you. He cares for you is also in the present tense to express an ongoing action. He never stops. He doesn't start to care and then stop the care. He never ceases. There's no resting in his care. There's no slowdown in his care. It never lets up. He cares for you now. Not he will care. He cares for you now. Underneath are the everlasting arms of God. Don't carry your anxieties, your woes and fears. Cast them unto God. He will never stop caring for you. That's God's word. Why must we do that? Well, we might say everything we said is why we must do that. But ultimately, there's one reason why we must do that. Because God commands us to do that. He commands it. He doesn't suggest. This is a command of God. It's a command to a God-given faith. By faith, God's gift, we believe these things. We believe them to be true. But then faith also walks in obedience. And when God has commanded us, seek ye my face. My heart in answer replied, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Psalm 27, verse 8. Call unto me, and I will answer thee. Jeremiah 33, 3. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things that thou knowest not. Listen. Listen to the word, and obey the word. Don't carry your cares. They will crush you. Cast them upon the Lord, your God. He will sustain you. That's his word. He cares for you. Come as a little child. Say the words, Our Father. Be assured that you come to his throne, that you will find grace in the time of need. Enter into prayer, which is that secret holy place under the shadow of the Almighty. Come as a child, a son, a daughter of God. and say, Father, I have sinned. I'm not worthy to be called thy son, thy daughter. And while you are a long way off, he will come to you in compassion and say, Son, daughter, you are ever with me, and all that I have is thine. Amen. We thank thee, Heavenly Father, for the word. Now give us grace that we may live in obedience. We often feel that we know not what to do, and yet it is so clear what we must do. We often say, well, I suppose, Lord, we can't do anything else now except pray after we've tried to do everything. We pray, O Lord, that instead we may pray without ceasing, and grant us that peace that passes understanding as Christ rules in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.